各位听众朋友，大家好，我是群岛资料库的主持人 Ricky，那也很高兴大家继续收听我们这一集的南洋放送局的节目。在这一集里面，我们延续着上一集的跟南亚、尼泊尔有关的专题，也邀请到了当时有一起去尼泊尔的艺术家姚瑞兰，请姚瑞兰先跟大家打声招呼。
Hello，大家好，我是瑞兰，主要是从事新媒体创作。
为什么今天会邀请姚瑞兰来上南洋放送局的 podcast 呢？原因其实跟我们刚才播放的音乐有一点关系。刚才我们一开始听到的其实是从一位朋友郑慧文在尼泊尔当地所录下用手机拍摄的短片，然后从这个短片里面截取的音乐。那这个短片的内容就是在 Kumari 火女神游行的时候的一些活动。那在上一集里面呢，我们有提到了 Kumari 这个火女神，那是策展人朱峰仪在当地所做的一些研究。他曾经在2019年参加水谷艺术空间跟尼泊尔加德满都的 Nexus 艺术空间合作的异乡人交流计划。那不但在尼泊尔当地进驻和研究，他也和我们分享了他在当地采访了一位已经卸任的火女神，也就是 Chanira Bharacharya 这位现任的一个倡议人士。那他所倡议的内容也是跟他曾经担任火女神的经验有关，也就是说他为那些曾经担任过火女神，那现在已经卸任的个案去争取相关的一些权益。当时跟朱峰仪一起过去尼泊尔加德满都的 Nexus 空间的两位艺术家，就是姚瑞兰、汪正祥。稍微补充一下关于这个火女神的信仰的背景，在尼泊尔加德满都河谷原本有三个不同的小王国，后来因为某些原因，有不同的传说的故事。后来每个地方就开始会选出5岁到10几岁的女孩子去担任火女神。这些火女神的特征就是她们必须保持处子之身，月经还没有来。她们担任火女神以后，她们就必须住在库玛里所属的宫殿，而且她们也有很多禁忌，包括她们脚不能踩到地上等等。等一下姚瑞兰也会跟我们分享。那另外在上一集里面，我们也有提到说，尼泊尔这个国家它是属于种姓制度，它有一个国王，那这个国王是出生自刹帝利家族，但是担任火女神的家族是巴拉乔亚或者夏基亚，也就是婆罗门的家族。当然呢，我们在上次的录音里面有听到说，一旦家族选出了火女神，这些女孩子她们也放弃了一般的童年的生活，而且也接受了王室的供养或者津贴，甚至信徒的膜拜，然后会来问事情，甚至生病了会来祈求保护。所以我们现在就来听一听朱峰仪她当时所访谈的下半部的录音内容。
I suppose a lot of family will apply for the Kumari. So, what's the benefits do you think for them to have a daughter as a Kumari?
The first benefit is that having a daughter's home is a blessing for it's a big honor for a Nepali family.
Okay,
So it's like she's not your daughter anymore. She's a goddess who will be worshipped by entire nation.
Okay.
She'll be worshipped by even the king.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing is like for me personally, I think that as a being a goddess, I'm more spiritually advanced,
Okay.
like than other modern people. Like they. I think that I can better communicate with my goddess. So whenever I want something, I just pray and that happens. You know, like
Wow.
it's really, I feel that the goddess is always with me. So
Oh, you mean the Teluju goddess?
Yeah.
You always pray for. Okay. So do you have this kind of mystical experience?
Yeah, many times when I was goddess.
Can you tell something? The special one, or the one you remember?
I cannot say that this is a special one, but still, there are many prayer people coming to pray for you, like some for their health. You know, if there's any sick person, they will come to you for wishing for wellness. recovery from their disease, and some would come for a good job, or some for promotion, mm-hmm. some for passing exams and everything. They just come and pray the goddess, mm-hmm. and it feels like when they see the Kumari, it will bring good luck for them. But when let's say there's a special offering for a sick person, let's say, and I'm sitting on the throne while the person is praying, sometimes I feel in two different ways. First is that when I feel that I'm accepting his prayer, mm-hmm. I feel happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know, automatically it happens. Not because I want to show that kind of behavior, but someone else is pushing me through that kind of behavior. So okay. I feel happy and I feel like blessing him. So
okay.
what happens is he will get recovered very soon.
Okay.
But sometimes I feel like I don't want to sit here. Why the hell I'm sitting here? I just want to stand.
Okay.
And I feel like showing some... like crying or showing some okay. bad behavior, then that person will not be recovering. So it's like Kumari's behavior can predict the person's
future.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that happens many times.
Okay. Do you think because you are goddess in the family, so do you think were you kind of spoiled at that
spoiled?
Time?
Uh-huh. Not really.
Okay.
Because to be a Kumari, you have that characteristic, some level of maturity is one of that.
Oh, okay.
So, but my mom has a very special trick to, you know, not make me spoil. Like what she can, as a goddess, she cannot scold me because I was a goddess.
Okay.
So what she used to do is that, say that if I did something
mean,
wrong.
Even talks, scold is not
she,
a...
She, no, even okay. not my parents cannot... not even my parents can scold me.
Oh, wow, okay,
so
okay.
What she used to do is like, if I did something wrong, then she will say that I will have a diary now, and you know, like I cannot scold you now, but I will write it down and scold you after you are not a goddess anymore. So
okay.
let's see how long the list goes, and like she'll
okay.
she will not scold me, but she will have that trick.
And you will listen to me.
Yeah.
Really listen. All right, okay.
Then I would understand that I did something wrong.
okay. And you followed. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So. At that time, do you have friends or
not much in my time, because I, at the age of 5, I was I suddenly left out the school and
mm-hmm.
there were no friends
okay.
for me. But now, because the school sends the classmates inside, so they can have friends.
Okay, but did you wish to have friends at that time as you when you were?
I had 2 younger brothers and plenty of cousin sisters, so
okay.
they used to come and play with me.
Okay,
so I didn't miss that. Outside friends.
Alright. But how did your siblings react when you were Kumari? Because I suppose you must play all together when you were young. And then
I don't know. My brothers were not even born when I was selected as goddess. So
okay.
since their birth, they're used to treating me as a goddess sister. So
okay.
They're not allowed to touch me by the feet, and they have some rules. So they are not allowed to share food with me.
Okay.
And they have to respect me. So they, I don't know how they feel, but sometimes they used to feel jealous as well.
Okay.
Like whenever I did something wrong, I will never be scolded. But if my brothers did something wrong, they will be scolded. So
okay.
at that time,
so
they
already
feel
kind
jealous.
Of
yeah,
envy you. Kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Okay. So a question is that. So frankly, did you feel alone at that time? Because
I didn't have time to feel alone at all because.
Uh-huh.
It was something like I loved really doing, like, you know, there would be a lot of people coming to see me all the
mm-hmm.
time, and
mm-hmm.
there are many people coming to see me, and I had my teachers coming in, so I had my homeworks to do. So it's only the morning part that you are supposed to be as a goddess, like in
mm-hmm.
the morning there are rituals, you have to sit on the throne and bless many people, but after 12 you can be yourself.
Okay.
You can even invite your friends and play, and you can go on the internet and watch movies. You can do everything you want in the evening, so
okay.
it's not like your life is that much restricted as you think.
Do you think, did you feel a big change from people's attitude when you resigned from Kumari?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was really weird for me, but at the time, what happened is, first thing was that I don't know. It's really hard for me in the first days.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were very much curious. Like I was used to studying inside the home, and I
mm-hmm.
had to go to the college. So on the very first day, you know, sitting in the middle of those 40 people and studying was completely different for me. Uh-huh. And I didn't want to talk to any one of them.
Okay.
It's I was not able to, you know, I don't know what to communicate with them. And okay. Yeah. But they were, I don't know why, but they were coming in, asking a lot of questions to me, and they were trying to be more friendly, maybe because...
Did they know you are an ex-goddess?
Yes, yes. On the first day, the principal introduced me as an ex-goddess. So,
oh, okay.
And maybe he had instructed all of them to be friendly with me, so okay. All of them were trying to be a lot more friendly.
Okay. So that's why you overcome the whole situation. How about the family member? Do you feel the their attitude to you is kind of changed?
Not really, but my parents were a bit worried after I stopped being a goddess because on the first few months, my mom had to come and pick me to the college and drop me to the college, and she had to teach me how to walk because I never walked outside my house. Oh. I was always carried in the festivals, so she has to take me to the short distance every day. And
but you still can walk to your room.
Walking in the street and walking in houses is completely different. Okay. It was really, I was very much afraid of the traffic, and you know, in Nepal, traffic is very bad. So my parents need, you know, they had to hold my hands and teach me how to walk and everything. So it was in the first few months they were kind of worried about me, but now after my I could easily cook up with at a very short time, so they were happy about
I suppose you must feel very shocked when your first period comes.
Not really very shocked, but my parents, my mom especially, used to tell me and remind me time and again that this stuff is going to happen to you, and when it will happen, then you will no more be a goddess. And even my teachers, they used to tell me that, okay, you will have your period, then you will have to come to school, and then your life will be different. So they kind of counseled me very short before I stopped being a goddess. So I was kind of preparing myself mentally. To face that day, but when that day came, it was kind of shock for me.
So how did you feel?
I was sad the first day because now I'm not more a goddess, so it was kind of and also kind of fear to face the world, or how would I be able to, you know, face the world and all kind of things. But my parents, they supported me a lot, and they made me feel strong.
I see. Did you miss that time?
Being a goddess? Yes, very much. Very much. That was so nice days.
Okay. I also heard some kind of a taboo or some kind of the legend that, for example, when Kumari retired and they get married, there might be some kind of...
Yeah, that's just a myth. I don't know where that thing came from, but it's just a myth. I've seen a lot of ex-Kumaris who are already married, and their husband is still alive.
But there's still a lot of taboo about menstruation, in your area. So after you have the menstruation period, you still have to follow this kind of a taboo, such as you don't have to touch, you cannot touch others.
But in village it's too much, like they cannot stay at their house and they have to go somewhere else, they're not given nutritious food and all. But here it's not like, I'm not allowed to go to the temple, but other thing is normal.
So you can cook and
Yes, if I want to, I can cook for myself.
Usually you don't cook.
Yeah.
Okay.
I take those 4 days as my resting period, so I just lie on my bed and rest.
I see. So, what do you think? Do you think this whole thing is kind of a mission to you, the life purpose or something? Do you think that way?
My both part of life, because not all girls can become the goddess, and also the normal girl. So now I could live the life of goddess for 10 years and now I'm a normal girl. So I think both the life has a purpose for me. So it has made me who I am today. So.
Okay, so do you think it's a good or do you think it's bad? do you think it should be still last in the society? Yeah, your opinion.
I have faced this question a lot, like whenever I watch the movies about Maori or the blogs, the internet blogs and the in magazines, when I see the comment section, they have a lot of negative comments about this tradition.
Uh-huh.
But what I believe is that for every tradition, it has some story behind their origin, and
yeah.
That's of a cultural significance as well.
Uh-huh.
So, as I told you in the past, the Kumaris were not allowed to educate. You know, they were not. They cannot be educated, and
mm-hmm.
They faced a lot of problem outside. But
mm-hmm.
nowadays, that has been changing. In 2007,
mm-hmm.
there was a case in Supreme Court of Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
It's said that this tradition, you know, like hampers the child right and all those things. But the court, what it decided was like this tradition should actually continue because it has a lot of cultural significance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they demanded for some modifications in the culture. So since then, this culture has become more lenient. Now Kumaris are allowed to have friends, and she gets classes on how to socialize,
mm-hmm.
and it's much more better now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's too much better. So I think. If there's a lot of positive things going on, as long as things are becoming better, it's good to continue our culture.
Okay.
So for that, I've also started one group of ex-Kumaris, and it actually helps in educating current Kumaris' education and also counseling for her future.
Mm.
So this is, I think, with some modification, this culture should continue.
Okay.
Because Kumari is a female goddess, and in a male-dominated society like Nepal, it gives the message that women are to be respected because she's even worshipped by the king, and
mm-hmm.
it's like it gives a positive message. And also, Kumari is a Hindu goddess, but she is selected from a Buddhist family, so it's a
mm-hmm.
good example of religious tolerance on how two religions can, you know, blend together. So there are a lot of other advantages as well, and for whole life. I'm known as an ex-goddess, and that's it has given me a different identity, so I feel really proud becoming a goddess.
So you also feel this kind of a social hostility to a woman?
Yeah.
And Kumari could be another, I don't know, why this kind of Kumari tradition means to the society? Yeah.
I mean to say that like women, they do not get their rights, and they're not they do not get their say in Nepal, and their condition is very critical. But Kumari, as a girl, living girl, is worshipped by the president, by every people. So she's not only a girl, but it gives a message that every girl is a form of goddess, and they have to be respected, not like violated like that. So.
好的，那我们刚才听到的就是策展人朱峰仪分享的库玛丽火女神的访谈的下半段。在这个库玛丽的女神的传说其实有两个，一个是保护国王的塔雷祖女神跟国王之间有一些掷骰子游戏的时候发生的小冲突，那因为上一集里面我们有提到，所以我们这就不讲。那另外一个就是跟一个大魔王陷入恋爱的一个女神，也叫 Kumari， 但是他为了正义还是什么，就是他也要割舍他心中的挚爱之类的这样子的自我的欲望之间的一个挣扎。我这里引用了峰仪他的报告里面有提到说，在 Kumari 传说里面，则是对社群里女性角色的爱恨并存的双重情节。一方面，女性是生命的源头，是情欲的象征，也因此。女性不仅是生命的主宰，也是情欲的主宰。库玛丽传说里面的挣扎，就是对于这个主宰力量的挣扎。想要请问瑞兰，你好像也是在访谈的现场，可不可以给我们介绍一下当时访谈的状况？
当时访谈的状况，那个时候，这是我们去拜访的第二组库玛丽家庭。库玛丽这一个是已经卸任的。去拜访他，一方面是要访谈，那另外一方面是我们知道他在隔壁有一个就是比较年长的，也是现任的库玛丽，但他是终身就是没有来月经的一位阿姨这样子。那我们除了访谈 那位新人以外，也有去就是参拜这一位，就是 对这位就是阿姨这样子。那时候我去的时候，还有就是算是帮我们联系这几位当地库玛丽的那个艺术家，他叫 Kipa， 他是在我们过去尼泊尔的之前，他们有来水谷驻村，所以我们在去尼泊尔之前，其实就已经有认识当地的艺术家了。
那我们刚刚听到，因为月经有没有来这件事情，是库玛丽女神来说是一个很重要的一个关键，因为一旦她月经来了，就要开始
就是还俗的概念，这样
对还俗啊，好，就是她就要开始展开下一任的遴选的活动。
对
对，那她也提到说，好像她当时有一个。我听的没错的话，他好像提到说他发现他月经来了，就是好像有一点伤心或有点害怕，所以后来凤仪就继续追问他说，是不是会去想念担任女神的时候的记忆这样。所以关于这个月经不能来的禁忌，我们刚刚听到的是说，他好像把这个东西会跟整个尼泊尔社会里面对于女性的一个敌意。我刚刚听到在这个访谈里面呢，他也提到了好像整个社会对于女性的某种敌意，或者跟月经有关的禁忌，在库玛丽女神的传统里面，也以某种方式再现或者交织在一起。这一集我们邀请姚瑞兰来参加这个录音，有一个很重要的原因是，她当时也试图处理一个比较少被碰触的议题，这样子。那
月经禁忌，
对月经禁忌。那是不是请瑞兰先介绍一下，说你2019年那时候去了哪些地方？那进驻的单位Nessus 他们是怎么样一个单位？然后你有参与什么样比较有趣的活动？
嗯，好、哦，就我们在尼泊尔驻村一共是一个月，就是我们做进驻的单位叫做 Nessus Cultural Nepal， 然后它是一个由行为艺术家 Shmina。创办的艺术社群这样子，主要是开放给当地的学生团体跟任何需要类似替代空间嘛这样概念的任何人来这边做集会，然后讨论倡议诸如此类的这样子。然后他们有在做国际性的驻村 open call， 还有对它是一个开放给大家可以申请的地方这样子。期间其实整个活动是非常的紧凑这样，因为除了我们主要是在加德满都地区，然后还有去到周边的几个古镇，然后参与一些像是圣牛节啊等等的一些就是当地的活动庆典，就是七八月其实几乎是每一周都有当地的庆典活动，这样是一个活动聚集的月份。
你是说那边是都市还是比较乡下的吗？
是
都有。
帕坦在加德满都里面，它是一个更古老的城镇这样子。嗯，然后我们主要就在加德满都里面，算都市。那其他几个古镇是就是跟当地请司机，然后载我们过去这样。
对。
主要的行程内容除了就是了解当地的历史跟文化、政治等等以外，还有访谈的对象主要是关于他们当地非常复杂、非常特殊的宗教信仰。然后还有透过当地的性别运动者了解，就是在传统习俗里面的性别议题。嗯，对。那我们前前后后访了像是刚刚提到的两位库玛丽火女神跟萨满，就是梵林信仰的神职人员，还有刁妈，她比较像是印度教的女鸡童这样的概念。
你们有参与一个工作坊？
哦，对，工作坊的部分是跟那边的一个学生团体叫做 AlmostInvisible 一起举办的一个手缝护垫的工作坊，这样。那这个活动的参与事实上是就开放给所有人，它是不分性别的。然后手缝护垫它比较是一个参与活动的主要的工作项目啦，但其实它还包含了像是让不同的人谈谈在不同文化底下所遭遇到的性别禁忌，还有让参与的学员来分享他们经血禁忌的一些日常。
所以这个手缝护垫，我可以再补问一下，它就是我们讲的布卫生棉吗？
嗯，对对对，其实就是布卫生棉，然后从就是打板一直到缝纫这样子的过程。
那你说不分性别，难道还有其他性别的，或者是第三性？
其实第三性这个议题在当地是比较少讨论的啦。
对
对，因为反社会风气等等的关系，
那有男生参与？
对，男生还包含就是同期跟我们一起去驻村的艺术家汪正祥，还有跟 Kipa 一起来台湾的艺术家叫 Mac 林布。 比较值得一提的是那个月经禁忌这件事情，它比较是印度教信仰文化底下一个禁忌的概念，所以它意味着在其他的信仰底下其实并不存在月经禁忌。它的状况比较是加德满都大部分的人都崇拜印度教，所以这个
禁忌
在这个月经禁忌在加德满都或者在崇拜印度教的社群里面比较广泛的被实践。但其实尼泊尔是由150个不同的少数民族所组成，那其他的民族他可能就是信仰佛教或者是比较信仰梵林等等，用我们角度来理解可能比较接近所谓的原住民，可是因为150个原住民各自有各自的不同的信仰的方式，所以他们就并不是那么有月经禁忌这样的事情。Mac Limbu 他就是属于这样子其中一个
少数民族，
那他也有来参与工作坊。
所以其实虽然他是在讨论手缝护垫，但是他也借由这个方式去讨论宗教跟民族之间的一些问题。
对对，没错。
可不可以再请你进一步介绍这里面的成员？虽然你刚刚有提到说包括学生团体，他们是什么样一个团体，然后他们主要做的是哪些活动，还有关于这个 Nexus 他的负责人这样子，他在里面扮演的角色等等。
Nexus 的主理人 Ashmina 他算是长期在性别运动上透过行为艺术来创作的一个艺术家，所以他在这个工作坊里面就是用他艺术家的身份来介绍他过去如何用艺术创作的方式处理这个议题。然后还有同期一起在尼泊尔驻村的还有另外一个巴基斯坦艺术家，那他就是介绍伊斯兰文化底下的性别议题。比较特别的是那个 Almost Invisible， 他是当地的一些加德满都的大学生所组成的一个女孩子团体，在当地想要做一些性别议题，那手缝护垫就是他们想要做的其中一个项目这样。那里面还包含了现在正在美国读书的 Simon， 现在因为疫情就是正在组织学生团体对全世界做募款的 Bindi，还有一些就是当地大学生这样子。
那他们也都是印度教吗？还是说他们其实也是来自于各个不同的少数民族的背景？
这边提到的这三位其实比较印度教佛教这类的社群这样子。
好，那是不是请瑞兰跟我们分享一下这个活动最早是谁或者是怎么样的一个机会去形成的，它大概是如何进行？
一开始想要做手缝护垫，其实是那个 Almost Invisible 他们想要做很多的护垫，然后发给无家可归的游民，就是看起来居住环境条件比较差的人这样子。护垫或是棉条等等这类型，就是我们平常在使用的卫生用品，其实在当地算是一个比较高价位的商品，就他们就觉得如果可以自己缝自己就是自己用，其实应该会是一个比较可以帮助到底层社会的人这样子。对，所以这个提议一开始是由他们所发起，然后我们在几次的会议当中讨论，去说就是可是会不会其实那些 homeless people 其实没有地方可以晒干，那晒卫生晒护垫或者晒卫生用品这件事情，光是在一般的家庭，因为宗教信仰的关系，他们认为让太阳神看到这样的东西是不礼貌的，也会是一个困难处，就是要在阴暗的地方阴干是比较好的做法。对啊，那其实那这样发布卫生棉给无家可归的人，是不是好像就有点行不通这样？对，然后后来我们又有讨论到，阿徐米娜就有问他们说，就是那到底所谓的无家可归人到底是谁这样？其实后来其实有发现他们其实是有锁定一区的居民，可是他们好像比较类似所谓的嬉皮嘛，或者是崇尚不同生活形态的人。对，所以他不是真正的生活条件比较差的人。对对对，所以我们就开始一直在修正，就是那想要做这件事情的倡议，我们应该以现阶段跟目的性来说，我们可以怎么实践比较好去达到这个倡议的效果。
那听起来就是说它是一系列的讨论，而且好像在你去之前就已经持续在进行是吗？
就是去的时间其实是暑假，然后 Simran 他在美国读书，他也是暑假期间回家的满都想要做一个这样子的活动。对，就是他们先前有一些组织的，但是一直到我们也到当地之后，这个东西才就是变得才开始讨论它实际上可能可以怎么执行，那我们可以怎么加入这个计划，让整个工作坊可以变得比较丰富。
所 所以它算是一个蛮是集体的一个，有点像是一个参与式艺术，或者是或者是对对对，所以比较是不是一个个人展览或者是什么这样子。
对，
当然你后来也有做了一些你自己的回应的一些类似像作品这样的东西嘛。嗯、不过可不可以先讲讲看，说在工作坊里面，我们知道说还有其他的艺术家，他们有哪些共鸣或者哪些经验的分享？
嗯，就是其实有蛮多的学员提到，就是月经禁忌这个概念，它其实根本上来说，月经它在尼泊尔语里面的意思就是不可触碰的，它包含是你不要去，对，你不要去碰别人，跟别人不要去碰你。它是一个圣跟俗之间的区隔，它区隔了无论是像刚刚提到的，不要让你的洗好的那些卫生用品晒到太阳，还有包括你不应该去厨房，因为厨房是一个神圣的地方，然后你不要去祭拜神明，因为神明是一个神圣的空间。可是这当然会导致很多生活上的不方便，比如说小朋友一个人在家，那妈妈不在，你要怎么去处理今天的饮食？那对，所以他就会有很多。
所以妈妈如果月经的话，不能带小孩吗？
带小孩嘛，他就会变成很多日常上的不方便跟不合理，就是。到底是谁的神圣？那我们遵守这个规则，在什么情况底下，为了服务谁，我们又要去打破？还是说，就是难道就没有一个方法吗？所以事实上，在这个东西在实践上面，它是一个很协商跟抵抗的过程啦。它也不是一个真的很强制性的规范，但就是空间都是自己打开的。
那好像还有一些手作的部分，
就是除了分享那个。跟禁忌做日常抵抗以外，手做护垫包含了打板跟缝纫，然后就把护垫缝完这样子的过程，我就邀请他们把刚刚打板用的纸张就是在上面绘制，或者是用各种手边的材料，把刚刚就是分享的一些心情或者他们想要说的话，给就是用一个任何他想要的方式给呈现出来，它是一个比较小型的创作的过程。最后就是艺术家汪正祥有替大家跟他们自己的小作品做一个肖像的合照，然后最后我们就是把这些成果跟肖像照就是发给他们所有人，然后鼓励他们可以在脸书上面 po 照片，然后把今天的一些心得或者是他们想要对公众说的话，就是用他们可以接受的方式放到网络社群上面。这算是我们在讨论的过程当中找到的一个用艺术家身份或是用倡议团体身份，可以在年轻社群里面做一些推动的一个方法这样子。
还有 Google 表单
哦，对，然后Google 表单的部分，这整个想法其实比较是我们在思考一件事情，是对，就是对 homeless people 去做倡议是一个很好的方向，没有错，可是是不是一个议题在推动或是一个观念要在社会里面去做讨论，还有什么样的方向可以去切入？所以我们就会想说，是不是年轻社群，或者是就是尼泊尔的各种怎么讲比较有声量的人嘛，是不是也其实也都在脸书上？所以在脸书上做倡议这件事情，应该会是让整个社会开始会去注意到这件事情应该要被讨论的一个行动。对，所以就是。Almost Invisible 在这个工作坊之后，觉得可以再做一些匿名表单的，用匿名表单的方式去征求当地的各种故事，然后他们在网络上去做分享。然后我也做了换脸书图框、脸书头贴图框的那个小图，整个活动会看起来有一种大家一起声援。然后你如果愿意 Pro 这个概念的话，你也可以用这个小小的方式去加入。
所以如果我在脸书上我要看到这些活动的成果，我是要去你的脸书吗？还是要去 Almost Invisible？
你可以搜寻 Period Pride，
Period Pride
, Period Pride 应该可以在脸书图框的那个搜寻栏里面找到之前做过的图这样。
我有注意到说你刚刚在 Google 表单的部分有特别讲到说这个倡议的对象，还有这个你刚才其实也有提到说艺术家跟倡议之间的关系，因为后来你们也把部分的一些内容把它分享转化成作品，可是当然这是你们自己的作品，而不是整个工作坊的经过。那所以你要不要来谈一谈到底这部分是怎么样进行，或者是经历了怎么样子的协商？因为听起来它并不是一个大家都有共识的一个过程。
就对，中间在思考的比较像是组织倡议怎么样才可以比较有效。那作为艺术家或是有所谓美学沟通技术的人，我们可以怎么用我們？
等等，你刚刚是说什么美学沟通的技术？
对，就是我们拥有一些技术，可以做一些感性的沟通，这样子、
哦、視覺啦，或者
对啊，我们可以做设计啊，我们可以之类的。
我是要爆料了，
那个是对劳基法抗争的一个
。对不起，再回到现场。
对啊，就是我们基本上可以做出。大部分可能的风格设计嘛，但是在这个情况里面，我们想要我们甚至可以选择用某一种的形象去 promote 某一种议题，但就是一种挑选，这是一种决定啊。甚至可能对，甚至还有可能讨论到像是，但是这些决定或者这些倡议的选择，我们基本上不太可能去确认怎么样是有效的，就是有效这件事情其实会变成一个很尴尬的讨论。就我们不可能去验证它，但其实，
当时而且有很多族群，
对，有很多族群，你不知道什么样的设计才是有效的。但我们也可以去想，或者说我们也可以去想象，就是红色对尼泊尔社会来说是一种，无论是传统女性或是当代女性都喜欢的颜色，它可能象征着你又在地，你又女性，你又有一种身份认同感。那红色可能会是特别好的选择，这样。或者是你走在街上，你走在 shopping mall， 你或许可以感觉到什么样的风格对当地的怎么讲有声量或是有消费力的族群来说是一种崇高性的，对，诸如此类，它是一种广告的概念，这样，那就是可以去参考，或是我们去问前来参与的就是年轻女性族群，他们对他们来说什么样的颜色、什么样的形象可以代表他们？所以就是这些思考跟这些收集，其实都是在一种服务跟设计的角度在想，怎么样我可以去帮到这个倡议。另外一方面，在 Nexus 它其实在国际上有受到蛮多就是 NGO 的支持，那它有非常好的社会连结，所以有一个非常显著的案例，就是艺术家身份在倡议上面是有效的。所以我们其实可以用这个光环，将我们手上的技巧对整个议题的推动做一些事情最大化的一些考量等等，这是在整个活动之前思考过的事情，这样子。对，另外一方面啊，我也会有点觉得做倡议是不是太设计也太服务了，导致好像就是以艺术家的身份去好像没有太创作的部分。那什么才是创作？所以就是在做了单个礼拜的田野跟交流讨论开会之后，我们其实蛮积极的想要在最后一个礼拜讨论说怎么去做一个就是我们想象中的当代艺术的展览。在最后之后剪了一支短片，然后在那个台湾双年展展出。
台湾双年展展出，你是说
对那个
禽兽不如吗？
对对对，禽兽不如展区在水谷艺术。
哦，你是说到智旅行
动物园？对
对
对，
旅行展。
就是我觉得那个主要的差别可能比较像是我在当地的整个感受，跟它是一种 flow。
我记得在那个之前就是蔡秉如在桃园的众艺术空间策划的那个内在飘逐展览里面，艺术家李奎碧他在南亚所认识的一些朋友，包括有一个艺术家，他其实有发起了一个小志，这个小志叫 Mahia， 他里面其实也有一些关于女性和卫生棉的禁忌，这样。那当然这个卫生棉也是红色，其实跟女神的红色
是同一种红色，但是一个却是可以去亲近的，另外一个是大家需要去敬而远之的东西，这样子。
嗯，而且其实女生我们也 untouchable， 就是不能触碰。嗯嗯嗯。好，那非常谢谢丫丫今天给我们感性的分享，那也希望说可以有机会再看到，包括你们在2019年做的东西，像你和汪正祥合作的工作坊的记录等等。
好，谢谢数位荒原，以及南洋放送局。